anyone has an experience from last week, then we can also take part and have and edify each other with prophesying. It was really helpful for me to see that the Lord is the one with the fiery eyes. We can also read these verses together in Revelation chapter 1. About the seven stars. Are you all that silent all the time? He asked. Lord Jesus. Oh Lord. Let us read. And his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Yes, Lord, we want to know you as the one who has eyes like a flame of fire and who has feet like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Yes, Lord, thank you that you are saving us from all defilement and uncleanness. Yes. He had seven stars in his right hand. Yes, Lord, hold us in the hand of your authority. We want to be your stars. Yes, Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Make us stars that shine in darkness. Yes, thank you, Lord.
John, wir hören deine Stimme gern.
Liebe, hören wir seine Stimme.
It's better to hear the voice of the Lord. She said we like to hear John's voice. So, but yeah, he asked, how is it going?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you already prepared for the conference? We are starting to prepare.
So, was ist das Anliegen vom Herrn?
What is the burden of the Lord? Jesus. When the Lord is in our midst and he speaks so clear and loudly, then we should know today what his burden is, that he would help us to pursue him, pursue the goal. Because the time is so short. The time is really short. It's one thing to read this description of the Lord. We can all read it. But it's another thing to see him as this heavenly high priest who is walking in the midst of the church, and to experience him in our daily life. It's very important to see him, how he walks in our midst, in all the churches, in Zion, and especially for the service of the priests. The priesthood without the high priest, it's impossible. He's such a high priest who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands, not just for going on a walk. Do you think the Lord walks in the midst of the lampstand just to walk around and have a nice time? No, he serves there. He has so much to do. He's taking care that there is much bread and there is much oil in the lampstand and that the incense is offered up to God, because he is serving there at the incense altar. He generally walks in among the churches, but he walks among the golden lampstands. Are you sure that you are a golden lampstand there in Feigen? Are you sure? And how does it shine?
Erwartest du von mir eine Antwort?
Nein, ihr sollt es selber wissen, ob wir täglich im Licht.
You should know yourself whether you truly walk in the light every day. As 1 John says, he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We shall be such who walk in the light. To be a golden lampstand. It's not so easy. Yeah, look at the churches in Asia. Are they all golden lampstands? The church in Thyatira? Or in Ephesus? Or in Pergamon? Or Sardis? Or Laodicea? Yeah, we daily need to examine ourselves if we are in the light, if there's darkness in our self, in our thinking, in our daily conduct. If we are truly gaining Christ. It's not just a confession, yes, we are. We need to be honest before the Lord and to ourselves. It must be a testimony for the people around us. It's not so simple. What, for example, did you gain of this wonderful high priest? How much did you gain? It's important to experience the reality and not just the teaching. The time is so short. And when we are honest to ourselves, then we must confess there is so much in our being that needs to be transformed. So many aspects. What we think the whole time, the whole day. What is in your thoughts? What is in your heart? It's important to be saved to the uttermost. We live in a time where we need to examine ourselves daily in a honest way, in the light of the Lord. Stand in His light. That because we are not as we should, we ought to be. As 1 John chapter 3 says, and oftentimes we don't even know our own hearts. That's so important. That's important to stand before Him in the light, to walk in the light.
So
it's important to know this high priest, to experience Him, especially as we are priests. And in the end of this age, the transformation is really important. When we are still as we were, and there is no change, the others can see. And as John says, when we say we have no sin, then we lie, and the truth is not in us. And as Paul said in Philippians, not that I have obtained it, not that I am perfect, and as long as the Lord has not returned yet, which will be in a short time, we are not perfect yet. We need to be perfected.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
We need much revelation. Yes, we need much revelation. Much to know in His Word. For we have not attained the highest stand. So this wonderful God, but in a way, terrifying high priest. Yeah, even the apostle John was shocked. He even fell down as dead to his feet. He was shocked when he saw this high priest. This morning we prayed, Lord, perfect Your work in us. Yeah, before You return. That we may not have to go through fire to be perfected.
Wir müssen alle vor seinem Richterstuhl.
We all need to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. When we all need to give an account to the Lord, imagine the Lord comes tomorrow, then you will need to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. You will stand before him. What do you think?
Rainer,
what do you think?
Wie geht's dir, Rainer?
What? How do you do, Rainer?
Ja, alles gern, dank. Gut, ja.
I'm doing all right.
Bist du ganz sicher, du kommst durch, ja?
Are you really sure that you will make it?
Ja, deshalb.
That's why the Spirit of the Lord. We need to remind ourselves about the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11 and also in Hebrews chapter 12, how we ought to serve, how to serve him acceptably. And it says there, with reverence and godly fear. The fear of the Lord is important. To have respect. To have respect before our God. We need to fear the Lord. The last point in Isaiah chapter 11 about the Spirit of the Lord. What's the last point? It's the fear of the Lord. Fear of God. If we have no fear of God, if it's lacking, then we will do anything. Then, but then we think, okay, we have the blood, so I take the blood and the Lord will forgive me and everything is all right. And then we still keep on going, doing it. Of course, the blood of the Lord is wonderful, but remind yourself, as priests, it's also about to experience the last two offerings, not just to have the trespass offering for the forgiveness of sin. Of course, the Lord forgives you, but there's also the sin offering. And the sin offering is not for forgiveness, but for the setting free of sin. I don't want to be only... I don't only want forgiveness. I want to be set free from sin. I don't want to be just symptomatically be treated by the Lord. I want to be healed from the sickness, not to take just some pills. I need healing. Lord, heal me. The forgiveness is one thing, but to be set free is another thing. As Romans 8 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I want to be set free, that this all this sin and death would not reign in me anymore. And as long as the sin and death is still reigning in me, then I still need more salvation, even to the uttermost. And the Lord needs to perfect his work in us, and we need to cooperate with him. This work is not just one direction. This work, it's mutual. His side and our side. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then it says, on the other side, for God is it who works in us the willingness and the doing of his will. So we see both sides. It's not just one-sided. Oh, the Lord will save me, and his grace will do it. We don't have to have any fear. How many Christian things you don't need to have fear of God? Everybody will be raptured and taken away. He has forgiven our sins. Everything is fine. We have the salvation. We are born again, everything is fine, but they have no reality. Even though they're born again, you still walk according to the flesh. And we are not perfecting the things that the Lord has started in us. There are so many deeds of the flesh, but we see little fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's so much quarreling and fighting and love of the world and love for yourself. In your thinking, you're not renewed. Yeah, to be transformed means to be renewed in your thinking, so that you can put off the old man and put on the new man. That needs to be our reality in our daily life. It needs to be experienceable. It should not be a teaching and then you forget about it.
Niemand weiß über dein Leben außer dir selbst und natürlich der Herr. Außerdem nur du weißt, ob du
only you know if you're transformed and if there's any change in your life, in your heart, what has been hidden.
Nur der Herr,
only the Lord, and he is the one who is seeking our heart, searching our heart, trying our heart. And then there's the wisdom of the Lord for his going on, not just in his church life, not just for your personal life, but also for the church life. You need the wisdom of the Lord, not earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. To lead a holy life, to walk in a holy manner. A life that is pleasing to him, that's righteous, holy. The humanity of Christ. To gain him. To put off the old man, to put on a new man. You need to examine, test it for yourself. You can say, okay, I did all these things as the young man. In Matthew 19, he said, oh, yeah, I did everything that you said, but still there was one thing that was still missing. And with me, there's not only just one thing lacking. So especially as the church, to go on, we need the wisdom of the Lord. He is the wise one in the church life, in Zion, who's walking in our midst when I come to him to pray for wisdom for heavenly things. Maybe you ask him for your family life. Do you need wisdom for our relationship to one another, to lead a holy life? When the Lord returns, Peter said, what kind of human life you ought to live in holiness and in godly fear. How much do you pursue holiness in your daily life? Especially when no one is seeing you, then you think you're holy, everything is okay. If you're truly holy, you can see when no one sees you, when you're all by yourself. How holy do you live? The Lord sees. The angels see. The mystery of godliness is God revealed in the flesh, and then it says, seen by the angels. That's also a mystery. They see everything. They look. Such a Christ. We need his wisdom. Colossians says, in him are all treasures of wisdom and understanding. For our preparation of the coming of the Lord, we need his wisdom. We don't know what we even need for ourselves. Maybe I think I know. No, I don't know. The Lord knows.
In allen Dingen zu ihm kommen.
Amen.
Und das ist, was ich bedeute, wenn Paulus sagt, nicht
mehr und lebe, sondern this is what Paul means when he says, it's not longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul asks the Lord in all things.
Und der Geist leitet ihn in
allen. And the Spirit leads him in all things.
Die Salbung lehrt uns nicht nur was.
Remember,
ich brauche,
the anointing is not only teaching you what you don't know or what you just need.
Amen.
He teaches us all things. How do we raise our children? You don't need to read many books. You need to come to him. Lord, you have the wisdom. How do I raise my children for you? That they might grow. That they might mature in Christ. That they might not get lost. That they would be, raised in Christ.
Auch das brauche ich, die Weisheit.
And also in this, I need the wisdom of the Lord. There are many,
Wege und Weise,
many ways in how I raise my kids, but these are all human concepts. Of course, some suggestions are good, but the wisdom of the Lord is crucial in all things. Wisdom from above. And God is ready to give this wisdom abundantly. And he's not far away. He lives in us. And he's walking in our midst. He's there all the time. How do we experience more of Christ as our burnt offering? When the Lord lived on his earth, he was truly, fully for the will of the Father. That was his whole life. I don't even dare to say my whole life is for the Father, because I do so many things that are not for the Father. Many things I decide myself.
But the Herr, unser hoher Priester, in seinem ganzen Leben, er sagte, Brandopfer will er nicht haben in Gemeinde.
It is my food to do the will of the Father and to fulfill his work. But we have a lot of vacation when it comes to doing the will of the Father. How can I do the will of the Father without knowing his will? And how many times did we misunderstand when we read the Word of God, or we didn't understand at all? So therefore, it's better not to understand than to misunderstand, because then we think we are right, but we're not, we're wrong. At least if I didn't understand at all, then I confess to the Lord, I didn't understand, can you explain to me? But if I misunderstood, then I think I understood correctly. And that's even worse. Therefore, it says his head, his hair was white as white wool. I have white hair because I've grown old. But his hair is white because he has been born like that. It's his nature. When I was born, my hair was black. But after some time, it's gray and white. Not because I became wise, but I became old. I've grown old. But his hair are white, like wool, as white as snow. It's heavenly. Have you ever seen a brown snow? No. He is holy and white and pure and without sin. Yeah, the evidence is in Daniel 7. Even he has saw that the one sitting on the throne has hair white as snow. Even, yeah, it's been like that forever and ever, ever since. Forever and ever. If we see that, then we realize we need his wisdom in all things. Yeah, the children say, I know, I know, I know. That's what all children say. And father and mother say something to their children and they say, yeah, I know. So if you really know, why do you not do it? Knowledge is not enough, not sufficient. Paul warned us, it puffs up. Yeah, you become proud and you're like, I know better. No, we don't know better. Especially when it comes to God's plan, God's building, God's house, His kingly priesthood. If you know how you can become like that, only He can make us a holy priesthood. To be holy is His nature. White like white wool, like snow. And its eyes like flames of fire. How are your eyes? Rainer. Do you see everything so clearly? Ah, you have two eyes. You're so young. Not even with my glasses I see clearly. I have three different pairs of glasses. I know I need one for my computer. Now this radiation would not hurt my eyes. I need one for the television. To see far and then one to see the things that are close. And I have small eyes. Many people ask me in the past if I still see something when I'm laughing. Do you think that we see everything so clearly? Paul prayed for the saints in Ephesus that God would enlighten the eyes of their hearts. We don't just have two outward eyes, we have inner eyes. Only the Lord sees. If I don't see, or the blind people that are blind, they need a dog. So they need a dog because they are blind, yeah, to help them. So I'm a Christian who was blind, and I need this high priest that has eyes like flame of fire. Or do you see everything? If I examine myself, I'm like, oh, I'm healthy, everything's fine. But yeah, what about my inner organs? Yeah, I cannot see that. Yeah, Jeremiah says, our heart is deceitful above all things. How can you examine your heart? How can I examine my deceitful heart, which deceives me? Such a high priest is what we need in the church. For the golden lampstand, like in verse 14, that has eyes like a flame of fire. How many times do I have to tell the Lord, Lord, examine my heart? So what I can see is already not very good, but there are many other things which I do not even see, which are maybe even worse than what I see. So if I see what I able to see, then I can say, oh Lord, cleanse me. But there are many other things that I don't see. So how can I be cleansed of those things? How can I confess what I don't know? Eyes like flame of fire, flames of fire. The Lord says, you see this this small splitter in the eyes of the other one. That's what you see, right? But you don't see your own sin, yeah? So if I examine myself, then I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Praise the Lord. But wait, when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, with many angels as witnesses, oh Lord, then I have to say, oh Lord, we don't have the fear of the Lord. We're actually nothing. Woe to us if we think we are like this and that. That's what the Nicolaitans think. That's why they rule over others, because they think they are the responsible ones. No. Who can replace the Lord as the head over all things? Did God place the elders as head over all things in the church? No. Ephesians chapter 1 says very clearly, God has set him as head over all things. Yeah. Such a head do we have. So if he's the head of all things, then it's good if we ask him in all things. And we don't make our own decisions what is good for us. Because indeed, we don't know what is spiritually good for us. Maybe you know a little bit which earthly food is good for you, but even that you don't really know. But what is good for us spiritually, what is healing us? Who can judge that? In the past 60 years, we went through many experiences. what we thought what is good back then, today we know it was actually not that good. What we thought was right was nothing. What we thought is life, we know it's not organic. Maybe the letter was right, but Paul said the letter kills. But the Lord said, every word which proceeds out of my mouth is spirit and life. Yeah, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And for us, every word that we have spoken is teaching and good theology, right? Yeah, we have to repent. We need to repent. We tell the Lord, I'm good enough. Then I have to remember what the Lord told this rich young man. When he said, good master, he stopped him. Why do you call me good? No one is good except for one. The one who is in the heavens. I'm also one with Rainer. Yeah, we're not good enough. No one of us is good enough. I'm an ungood good guy. No one is good. Especially, yeah, and we still have the flesh. We still have our flesh wherever we go. Therefore, we have to remember the word of Paul in Philippians 3. We're not such who trust in the flesh. Woe to us if we trust into our flesh. The flesh is sinful, corrupted, and the sin dwells in the flesh, and even death. Yeah, this law of sin and death works in the flesh. But God says we have the spirit. And if we want, we can live according to the spirit and, yeah, put to death the deeds of the flesh. And then we will live. And then Paul said in Romans 8, if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Then eventually we are a dead church, like Sardis. So praise the Lord. I'm happy, I'm glad that we are still, that we are still in Revelation 1 with this Son of Man walking in the midst of the lampstands. Yeah, amen. It is really so healthy for us if we stay with these verses until his return. Because we need him, indeed. If we think we practice the priesthood today, and we are true worshippers for the Father, if we want to become that, then we need to experience him in the midst of us. Amen. Amen. We need to be under His authority, in His right hand, all the time. The right hand of Christ is the hand of His, of the authority. He's on the sitting on the throne. All things are under His feet. Not only principalities and powers in it. Not only the governments and kings on this earth, but even all names that are called. Yeah. Including my name and your name. Every name means every name, also my name. Even my name is under His foot, right? Under His feet. Yeah, to be kept by the Lord. Do we still have time? Yes, you still have time. Not only the teaching, the experience is important. Especially those who are responsible, but actually all of us. Because all of us has to serve and be responsible for the will of the Father. Don't say, oh, those are responsible and we are not. No, we are all servants of the Lord. We are all servants. Therefore, in Matthew 25, there are not only those who have 5 talents, not only those who have 5 talents are servants, but also those who have 1 talent are servants. It doesn't matter how many you have. You are a servant of God. If you have 5 talents, you're busier. But the danger is that those who have only 1, that they dig a hole and hide it. No, we are all servants of the Lord. Yeah, according to what He has given us. Ephesians says, we all serve according to what the Lord, what Christ has given us. Not according to your imagination, according to how you think you have to serve. No. And if you're in His right hand, that doesn't mean you have great power and authority. No. It means you are under His authority. You cannot do what you want. That's what it means. But unfortunately, those who have a position, or actually think they have a position, like the Pope, Bishop, the priests, the elders. Yeah, when the Lord came to this earth, the Pharisees, the scribes, Sadducees, the elders, the high priest, they think they have a high position and they are all corrupted. Position and power corrupt men. The Lord was God. And He emptied Himself and humbled Himself. Not only to become nothing, but to become a slave. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And He was in the right hand of God. He does nothing without permission. which is not according to the will of the God. He said the Son cannot do anything out of himself. Do you think the Lord is not capable? But we, out of ourselves, we can do so many things without the Lord. We tell you, okay, Lord, stay on the throne there and let me do everything. We are going to do it. But what's the result? It's a synagogue of Satan. Babylon. Eventually, we destroy everything that God wants to do. Therefore, today, what is built by God cannot be destroyed, but what comes from us needs to be destroyed, so that only the things that are unshakable will last, like Hebrews 12 said. So if that what can be destroyed is destroyed, then don't be sad. Trust in the Lord. Because everything that is done by God cannot be destroyed. So learn. Do all things out of Him that is not destroyed, because otherwise everything that is made by man from old creation will be destroyed. But we build something which is unshakable. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen? Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus. We need His grace. So in Feigen, wherever you are, whatever we do, in our service for the Lord, do it in Him, through Him, and for Him. Then it will last until He comes. Otherwise, everything will be destroyed. Everything else will be destroyed. Paul said, everything which is not gold, silver, and precious stones and is built through these materials, the fire will prove and burn down which is not made out of these materials. These words are very, very serious. And you can only experience it by doing everything with and through this high priest, Christ. We are just priests, not high priests. There is only one high priest, okay? And no assistant of the high priest. There's nothing between the high priest and the priesthood. Okay. No steps. Therefore, from the altar to the crown, there are no steps. The Lord didn't allow them to be built. So how many steps do you have there in Feigen? Don't be so quick to say none. If you think I'm right and the brothers are wrong, then I'm in the middle of the steps. Then there's not only one mediator between God and men. There's then also one between Christ and the church, yeah? Whoever judges has gone upwards one step. We don't judge, we let the Lord judge, we bring it to Him. Like the Lord did in 1 Peter chapter 2. Although the Lord was righteous and He could have judged, but He didn't judge. But He gives everything to Him who is the righteous judge, because no one is righteous. How can I, who is an unrighteous man, judge someone else? So don't be so quick to judge in the church. Yeah, this high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, his name is King of Righteousness and Peace. Only if the judgment is righteous, it will bring forth peace. Yeah, righteousness and peace belong together. They belong together. So if there is unrighteousness, there will be also no peace. So may the Lord give us wisdom that we understand what we read and experience what we read, not only understand. Yeah, praise the Lord, brothers. Ah, see you soon. Praise the Lord. Yeah. According to the will of the Lord. May the Lord be with your spirit. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord. We need the experience of you as the high priest. Until you come back, we want to experience this high priest in all aspects. Oh Lord, we pray that we are holy and pure as your church. Yeah, that we know you as the one who has eyes like a flame of fire, that we would be in your hands all times. Yeah, we want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Yeah, do that in us, that all our services is done through you. Strengthen us to be one with you, Lord, that we come to you all the time. Yeah, we praise you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is wonderful, and what the Lord builds is the only thing that lasts. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord builds us up. The Lord builds us up, builds us up. The Lord So he sings this song, "The Lord builds us up." I don't know it, to be honest. The Lord builds us up. And so he's a wonderful builder. Even if we are done, he wants to build with us. And I'm experiencing this more and more. I'm nothing without the Lord. at day, at night. I never know if I survive at night, and I'm so wonderfully dependent from the Lord. I gave up all dependence from doctors since 3 years, and the Lord is wonderful because I want to thank the Lord for things I've never thanked Him for. I thank the Lord that I can still see with one eye. I can thank the Lord that I still can still hear with one ear. I can thank the Lord that I can still walk a little bit, stand and sleep, that I can still eat and drink. And the Lord is my energy. Sometimes I receive energy at night when I read the Word and pray with the Word. It's a wonderful help. And Psalm 119, it keeps going, Lord, teach me to get to know You. And David, King David, has such a wonderful prayer. And it is a great help. I know without the Lord I can do nothing anymore. And I tell the Lord, without You I can do nothing anymore. And it is a great gain to experience that more and more, that I'm fully in His hand. Lord Jesus Christ, that is wonderful. And the Lord makes use of all things that happen to us in our life, that we would turn to Him. He said, stay in Me and I'm in you. Without Me, you can do nothing. And I can only say amen and give the Lord everything, every day. And it's so important that we speak His word. The Lord spoke nothing else than what He heard from the Father. And I really longing to, if I speak to someone, that it is the word of God, that His name would be spoken and proclaimed. And it is, like it says in the word in to Philadelphia, you have a little strength, but you've kept My word. And in this short time that I still have, that's what I want to do. I want to preserve the Lord, keep the word. And that doesn't mean I learn and know it. That doesn't have much use. But it is about eating the word, receiving the word, to proclaim it, and that I would receive this word on my knees. And the second thing is that I would not deny His name. And that's also not that easy. We speak a lot, and then when it's about speaking about the Lord, we have nothing to say. But the Lord helps us. And we can proclaim His word. And the day before yesterday, we went for a walk, and the Lord gives us such moments when we sitting on a bench, and someone asks something about the situation there, and then I just told this guy, I asked him, do you know Jesus? I just asked him that, and he said no. And then I testified from my life, and he was so open, and he said nothing against it, and he just received it. And today, my wife and I, we went for a walk. My eyes are really that bad that I need to take care. If I go for a walk, that I just don't fall to the floor when I turn. And then when we were there, wife, a woman passed by and greeted us and said hello. And in this moment, I asked, do you know what hello means? And she said no. And I explained to her what it means. And that's how we got to speak about Jesus and hallelujah. And that we should be something for his glory, yeah. And the wonderful thing was that this face of this young woman glowed up, yeah. And it turned out that they are believers. Yeah, her mother was also there. And they were believers. They are believers. And they were so happy. And those experiences, I'm so thankful to the Lord. I don't know how many people I helped to turn to the Lord, but I will know later. But I don't want to be without the Lord, walk without the Lord, stand without the Lord. And I want to be with the Lord as soon as possible. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give us much light in these days, Lord. We need your living speaking to us. Yeah. Let us see where we have to turn. That we see how we can go on and be perfected. Amen. That we don't just do anything but just the will of the Father. Lord Jesus Christ, speak to us newly. Yeah, speak into our hearts. Give us a full turn to you. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. It is so wonderful that every day we can go on with the Lord and that He is with us and shows us the way and that we can experience Him, how He works in us and builds us up. This week I was able to visit my brother and we had fellowship about the Word and the second coming of the Lord. And thank the Lord that He gives us His Word again and again so we can testify, we can speak about it and we can bring people to Him that they know that the Lord would come back very quickly and that we can give our, and that we need to give Him our life fully and to cooperate with Him. And I'm really thankful that the Lord gives us these occasions again and again to confess His Word, like Manfred just shared, that the Lord is paving our way and gives us such occasions. And we can come forward through this high priest. Also tonight that we were able to hear the speaking of the Lord and that it has gone through our heart. And I shared with my brother about Matthew 24, the verses there, that we not think only, okay, we are saved and everything's fine, but the Lord wants something from us. And the first verse about the talents show us that we should not dig a hole and hide this one talent, but we should work with it and work for Him. And yeah, that we should serve Him. Amen. I'm also thankful to be with you tonight. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I met a brother of you in Bleeningen, and that really satisfied my soul so much, so good for my soul to see these young people standing for the Lord and try to bring souls to the Lord. Then we had a short conversation. And that was really nice. And when I was still at work, and I told the Lord, Lord, bless them. And yeah, maybe some people, they don't know that they are called. And it needs someone who tells them that the Lord calls you, that calls them. And I'm like, okay, I want to visit you, because for me, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is my brother and my sister, and then I'm not afraid. And I could learn a lot tonight. That was really good for my soul tonight. Because the Word of God is really the strength of God. And in this day, in this time, we need this faith that we would be raptured. And that's not about coming from theology or some kind of studies, but it comes from the Word of God. And therefore, I'm so thankful tonight. Lord, may the Lord bless you abundantly. And whenever the Lord gives us grace, I want to visit you. I'm happy to visit you. And we need this fellowship and this conversation. Yeah, may the Lord bless you abundantly. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this word tonight. We want to experience you even more as our wisdom. Wisdom, how we can become holier. Yeah, examine our hearts, that you would examine everything that is still in us. That we would be so pure. Amen. Yeah, we want to be your pure bride. Can we sing a song? 68. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are a great high priest. And we can come to you all the time. Yeah. Examine us and guide us on your holy way. Song 68. It's also available in English.